and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." So here Peter tells us in these four verses that we have a problem here in these last days. And that problem will be that there will be people who reject Jesus Christ and all that he says in his word. And they'll be far more concerned with living for themselves and pleasing themselves than anything else. Does that sound like our culture? Our me first, take care of me culture? Now, in the middle of the page there on your handout, it says 2 Peter 3, verses 1 through 4, "In the last days there will be scoffers, people who reject Jesus Christ and who live according to their own desires and lust." They reject Jesus Christ and they live according to their own desires and lust. Let's keep going. Verse number 5. "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." Now, before we get into that verse, when that phrase in the middle of the verse says that by the word of God, what word of God is he talking about? Well, very simply, this is what he means. We can go back to Genesis 1:1, and we see that the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And in the verses after that, God started saying things. You remember those verses. And God said, "Let there be light, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together." And we could go on through all of Genesis 1, and God said, and God said, and God said. And you could see what God said. And then we go forward to John chapter 1, verse 1 in the New Testament, and we see that it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And John proceeded to tell us how the Son of God came down from heaven. He shared the glory with his Father in heaven, and he left all that to come down here for me and you. And then we can keep going through the Bible all the way over to the book of Revelation at the end of God's Word in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. And it says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood." And the last part of that is, "And his name is called the Word of God." So what we're talking about here is that by the Word of God, the words of Jesus Christ himself, these things that we're about to discuss have happened. He's made it all come to pass. Now what we're going to find out is this right here. These guys, these scoffers, they do a certain number of things in this life, as we've seen. They reject Jesus Christ. They refuse to look at what we're about to see. If you'll look at your page in the middle where it says 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 through 10, it says, "These scoffers ignore the reality of three worlds." Worlds, W-O-R-L-D-S. "All three of which either have been or will be brought about by the Word of God." So these scoffers ignore the reality of three worlds, and we're going to look at those three worlds very quickly. World number one is found in verses 5 and 6. And it is the world from creation to Noah's flood. The world from creation to Noah's flood. Verse 5 says, "For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." Now you know the story. God arranged it so, he set it so that the waters were gathered together and they were separated just like he wanted them to separate, and man was created, and after a while, man became evil. And God had to have a response to that evil. And so he sent a flood. And you know the story, but God had to destroy the world by a flood, and that was the first world in these verses right here. The second world is found in verses 7 through 12. And the second world is the present day in which we live. Okay, that's today. Verse 7 says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward." Now listen to this. This is important. We're going to catch it. We're going to sum all this up later. "Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That's what's important to God, is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse number 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." And then verse 11, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Now, as you know, that word conversation doesn't mean what we're talking about per se. It can include it, but it means our life, our activities from day to day. And Peter's simply saying, since you know this, you know what happened by God's word, you know what happened with Noah's flood, you know what's going to happen to this world, and in just a minute he's going to tell us about a third world. He says, "Seeing that you know all these things, what manner of persons ought you to be and how you're living?" Then he continues in verse number 12, "Looking for and hasting into the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." Now verse number 7 tells us that this world, this earth that we live in now, has been stored up for fire. "Reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." When this earth is destroyed, it won't be by water. That happened once. But this next time, it will be by fire. It's reserved for another judgment, and that day is described as in, we read it in verse number 10. "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." So that's the second world. But before we go to the third world, I want to reemphasize two points from those verses. This is important. The first point is found in verse number 9. We repeated it, but I want to go there again. Our God, in the middle of the verse, is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Folks, it's not God's will that you perish. God does not want you to come into judgment. He wants you and your neighbor and your brother and your friend and your enemy. He wants men to pass from death unto life. That is what is important to our God. And the second thing I want you to notice before we go on is in verse number 11, when he says, "What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" So he's given us a little summary of three worlds. He's telling us that it is the Word of God which has brought and is bringing and will bring all three worlds to pass. But at the crux of the matter, as we'll continue to see this in a few more verses. We'll continue to see that in these verses. But he wants us to know that, hey, listen, look at yourself. What manner of conversation, what kind of life are you having in your life knowing all these things? So let's go to verse number 13 and we see a third world. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, we don't have time to spend much time on this, but as you know, when the second coming happens, there'll be a seven-year tribulation period, and then there'll be a thousand-year of millennial reign. It'll be a new, restored earth, and at the end of that, this entire earth will be destroyed by fire. But that's the third world, that new millennial reign of Christ. We look forward to that. If you look in the book of Revelation, you see many, many things that makes that an enticing thing to look forward to. That's the third world that he's talking about. But because of all this, because of what he's done in these three worlds, what he's going to do in these three worlds, we go to verse number 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, okay, what things? Well, you know about Noah's flood, you know the day in which you live, and you know the day, that third world which we look forward to in the millennial reign of Christ. Seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. That is, since we know, and this is on page 2 in the middle, since we know that the earth and all its works will be burned up, we realize how important a life of godliness is here and now. What he expects from me is a life of godliness. What he expects from me is that my life is measuring up to what is important to him. You see, Peter's trying to drive a point home here. We're not going to live in this world forever. Someday, when it's all over, it's all burned up, we'll stand before Him. We'll stand before the righteous Son of God who gave His life to all of us. And when we do that, when we stand before Him, we won't want to be ashamed in His presence. That's why John said in 1 John 2:28, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." So see, this is what we find in this chapter that's important to Him, is reaching the lost, is living a godly life in our present life today. Now go to verse number 15, and we'll tie it up here in 2 Peter in verse number 15. It says, an account that the long-suffering of the Lord is what? Salvation. That word long-suffering, you could say that an account that all of God's patience has been for, all of God's kindness, His beneficial attitude to mankind, His long-suffering, His grace, His mercy. The end of all of that is salvation. That's what's important to God. And if you and I meet as a church family, if God's children come together in one place, that should be the primary thing that we come for, is to see people saved. Sorry. I never bring this thing in for that reason, but I was using this as an example. So he tells us that's what's important to him, is the salvation of lost souls. So in view of these facts, as we wrap this thing up here, what does God expect of me? Page number 3. I've listed 5 very simple things that are important to God. And if we know they're important to God, then we know that they should be important to us. And the first one is found in John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. According to the Bible, another term for becoming a Christian is to be born again. He tells us about, you know, there in John chapter 3 with the woman at Samaria at the well. There's a physical birth and a spiritual birth. And when we're spiritually born, we're born again. Letter B, the second one, is as a new Christian, to what does this scripture liken you. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. And this is what it says. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We all know about babies. All these precious little babies that have been born into the church that Brother Chris was talking about a few minutes ago. They'll need milk at first to grow, and later they'll need different kinds of food. They'll need meat to continue that growth. But when we're born again, we're a newborn baby in the faith. And letter C is, you cannot do much as a spiritual baby, but what does God expect you to do? 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. He wants us to grow. That's why we're here. That's why we should read our Bibles. That's the whole purpose of read through the Bible in a year. That's the whole purpose of having devotions and meditations and getting into the Word, sharing it with others, is to grow in His grace. And conversely, what does the Lord, in letter D, call a Christian who doesn't grow spiritually? 1 Corinthians 3:1-3. The Apostle Paul tells the Corinth church, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. It means they're living by their flesh. They're just satisfying their fleshly desires. But as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Friends, our God wants us to grow in our faith. He wants us to become more like Him every day. And then letter E, I'll take you to Ephesians chapter 4. I left out the verse right there, but if you'll take your Bible and turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to read three verses. And letter E says, into what does the Lord want His children to grow? Well, I'll let you use your own words there, but we're going to read these three verses to find out what kind of words you could use. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Got any perfect men in here? Aaron, are you perfect? You miss it by that much. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That word perfect there is very interesting, because what it means is it's maturing at the point where you should be. Okay? So, somebody saved last week will be at a maturity level that's different than somebody should be different from somebody that saved 40 years ago. I've used this example in our class a few times, but Lennox comes over to our house, and she came a couple days ago, and in our living room, she had had a long day, and she pitched a fit. And it's a fit that we expect a three-year-old to pitch. Lennox is maturing. She's right where she should be right now. Now, if she turns 18 and pitches that same fit in my living room, I'm going to show her the front door. But for 3 years old, she's right there. Hey, listen, you and I as a child of God should be mature where we should be. We should have a knowledge of the Word of God. We should have a knowledge of how to treat people, talk to people about the Lord. Now, can I ask you a question? Looks like I'm going to run out of time, but I want to ask this question because I ask myself this question. Are you where you should be in your walk in the Lord? I mean, I've been saved 52 years. That's a long time, Linda. Am I where I should be knowing that I've been saved 52 years? Or is there a lot of room to grow still? Yes, there is. A whole lot. I find more room all the time. Do you know the Scriptures like you should know them? Dwayne, do you know the Scriptures like a 52-year-old saved person for 52 years should know the Scriptures? Maybe not. Do you have a love for his people like you should have? Most of the time, maybe not all the time. Do you enter through the doors of his house? His house is very important to him. We're going to see that in just a minute. Do we enter through the doors of his house as much as we should? So in verse number 13, and letter, whatever that was, E, in your own words, we should be mature where we should be. Okay? Now verse 14 in Ephesians 4 says that we should know what we believe, grounded in the Scriptures good enough. I'm sorry, that's what it means. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And it means that I should be grounded in the faith. You should be grounded in the faith. That's what God expects. And then verse number 15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That means that we as a church family should have a deep love for our Lord, and that should show in how we talk to each other. It should show in our patience with each other, because we're both subjecting ourselves to the leadership of Jesus Christ. We should be getting along. I know that's hard to do sometimes, but that's what we should be doing. Now, I've just got a few minutes, but if you go to page number 4, I'm going to give you 6 very quick practical steps in the form of an acrostic. The acrostic is for the word growth, G-R-O-W-T-H. The first one is found in Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, our church culture, our church civilization is going to church less and less. I'm not being judgmental. That's just a fact. And here in this verse, it says, go more and more as you see the end of times approaching. As you see the day of the Lord approaching, go more and more. So, very simple observation. Go to a Bible-believing Baptist church. Now, I kept that word Baptist in there. There's a lot of good churches that don't have the word Baptist on them. But I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist, so I left that in there. The second one is this right here. Read your Bible daily. In Acts 17, Paul went to Berea. He left Thessalonica, and he went to Berea. And he says this about the people in Berea. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word, that's the word of God, with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily. Searched the Scriptures daily. So, R, read your Bible daily. O, obey Christ and be baptized. Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. You need to be baptized. That's important. W is witness. If we've been saved for 52 years, we should have the ability to share the gospel with other people. Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. As you know, you've got contact with people that I could never have contact with. There's people in my life that you could never have an influence with. They're in my life. And yet, he desires for us to witness to others. I love the story of the woman at the well. She had that conversation with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he spoke to her with words that gripped her heart and made her see things his way. And the Bible says that when she left the well, when she left her water pot, the first thing she did was go into the city and say to all those men she had done business with, come, see a man which told me all the things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? That should be me and you. Hey, listen to this. Listen to how God's touched my life. Let me show you how he can touch yours. That's the W. The T is thank God daily in prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, or anxious for nothing, But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, it's easy to thank God when we think He's answering our prayers, but when He's not, it's not so easy, is it? But this thanksgiving here in Philippians 4, verse 6 isn't about God saying yes or no. It's the thanksgiving that a child of God should have to know that God's in control of this situation. I can pray about it with thanksgiving because He's going to do what needs to be done, and it'll be the best thing for me. It'll be the best thing for this situation. And we can be thankful about that. And then the last one is honor God with the tithe and our resources. We have a lot to give. Sometimes it's not money. Sometimes it's with skill, or it's with a gift that you have. But it's important that we honor God with whatever we have, because He'll bless that. And you can read those verses from Malachi chapter 3 and 1 Corinthians chapter 16, okay? Very basic things. What does God expect? What is important to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Salvation. That's what we saw there in those verses. And so if we want to do what He wants us to do, then salvation of others will be important on our list as well. All righty? Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for opening our eyes to this passage of Scripture. And God, we're so grateful that You still speak to Your people.